If you have your Bibles, as you see there, Acts chapter number 9, and we want to begin reading with verse number 19, and our study of the book of Acts. We know that Acts chapter 9 is the chapter where the Apostle Paul was converted. Bright light shined around him while he was on the road to Damascus, and he was going to persecute Christians and bring them bound back to Jerusalem for them to be tried. And if so be it, you know, if it took it, he'd kill them, as he did Stephen, as we know, as we learned earlier. So we know that God did a great work in the Apostle Paul. There's no doubt about that. And I can testify today that he's done a great work in me. And thankful that he's still working on me, and I believe that he will never finish till we lay down this body and breathe our last breath. So allow him to work on you. Acts chapter 9, verse number 19, the Bible says, "So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, for the opportunity to be here today for this time of worship. We ask God that your blessings would be upon this word. Please illuminate our lips, our mind, and help us to be able to share the thoughts that you've placed on our heart today. And Lord, help us to receive your word, apply it to our hearts, and be forever changed, because your word, we know, is a living breath of you from heaven. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I thought about as we began our study throughout the book of Acts, and I was looking forward to Acts chapter 9, because I knew it was a breaking point for, you know, the whole book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, as we sometimes call it. Exciting stuff for the church, the beginning of God's church, Christ's church. And now we find more and more and more it's being established, and look what it has evolved to today, because, you know, we're here, and God, this is just one facet of the function of the church, and God's allowed us to be here in this place today. And I believe that there's several congregations throughout the state of Alabama, all across this world today, that will gather, and it all began here in the book of Acts, because we know when the Spirit of the Lord fell on that day, God's holy presence filled those disciples, and they went from there, and it began to spread. I think our gospel that we preach should be Christ, and hopefully it will spread throughout each day of our lives. So let's look at the outline of Acts chapter 9, verse number 19 through 22. The first thing is that Paul cared for himself physically. He associated and identified with other disciples, some things we struggle with today. Immediately he began preaching. He stood as a testimony to the community, the faith family of Christ. And then lastly, he was faithful and steadfast, continuing on with Christ. So let's learn some things about this particular passage. First of all, Paul cared for himself physically. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So he had spent 3 days before the Lord confined to the Lord's presence. And as you look, he had been shattered spiritually. I mean, his whole world was, can I say, topsy-turvy. It had just turned upside down. And he was drained, physically exhausted, isolated socially, and he was made weak physically. So look what it says back in verse 8 of chapter 9. It says there he was 3 days without sight, and he didn't eat or drink. Now, I don't know about you, and don't say you can tell by looking at me, but I don't think I've ever been 3 days and three nights without something to eat or drink. Have y'all? So just leave those comments alone and think about ourselves. Can you imagine? You know, isn't it amazing how our body functions? We eat maybe a hearty breakfast, and by 11 or 12, it seems like our stomach's gnawing on the inside out. Then by dinner time tonight, all of a sudden it's the same process. We need food. We need sustenance. We need water to help sustain us in life. And so now Paul had been through all this mental anguish, and his life had been changed. And here he was 3 days. He couldn't see, and he was without food for 3 days and three nights. So he was strengthened both by the food that he ate after the 3 days, and then he was also strengthened by that food from the Lord. This is what we're doing now. We're pulling up, no doubt, that probably Father's Day today, that maybe some of you have meals planned to go eat somewhere, or that you have a plan to go home and eat with the family. And I appreciate that, and that's what we should do. We should gather with our families and celebrate dads. Come on, guys. Amen. We should celebrate dads. This is our day. NASCAR don't race on Mother's Day, but they do today. That's what they think about us. That's what they think about moms. Can I say that? Can I go ahead and let's go back to Mom's Day? Thank you, moms, also. I appreciate my children, and it's good to have both of them here with us today. And thankful that God has allowed us this opportunity to come worship Him. But think about this, how that the Lord, as well as the food, He was strengthening him through the Spirit. That's what I need. That's what you need today. That's why we come to the Lord's house every week, to be able to receive the necessary food to keep us going spiritually. Just like we eat every day, we need God's food daily. We need it. So, think about this. But the Lord stood, this is Paul talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And he told Timothy, he said, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. So have you ever felt weak? Have you ever felt like that you don't know if you can go another day? It seems like you're to the end of your rope or your journey. So understand, here Paul, all throughout his ministry and life, there's times, especially at Lystra and Derbe, when they were throwing rocks at him. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? And here he is reaffirming to Timothy, but the Lord stood with me and He gave me strength. Boy, I need strength today, don't you? How important it is that we receive strength. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Isn't that comforting today? To know that when we're down and out, maybe some of you have suffered from a physical ailment and you feel without strength. I thought about Brother James. He hasn't got his strength back from the cancer treatments. But isn't it wonderful if our body does begin to decrease? Is it wonderful that our spirit doesn't have to also? But that we can be renewed day by day from the Lord. How important these things are. So Paul said this again to the Philippian church. He said, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. I can do all things. All things through Christ, which strengthens me. I copied this prayer, and I'll tell you who it is at the end. But I want to read it to you this morning. Maybe this is a time that we can all relate to at some point in our life. Think about this. A prayer for strength. Lord, I'm weary. My energy is sagging. My motivation is lagging. And I am so in need of you. I need your strength and your fresh touch to get back on track again. Your word says the joy of the Lord is my strength. If that's true, then I need your joy to replace all the bone-tired parts of my mind, body, and soul. Lord, help me not to quit, to keep running the race faithfully, to find strength in that safe, secret place of yours under the shadow of the Almighty. I need your strength to say no when I'm tempted to surrender to harmful things, or when selfishness clings to my clothes and won't let go. I need your strength to say yes when cowardice and fear nudge me to deny the convictions of my heart. Lord, I need your strength to reach out in love to those both close to me and all around me. And then listen at the closing phrase. Lord, renew my strength. Fill me with your supernatural power to overcome each obstacle in my path. With my eyes on you, Lord, with you walking beside me and even sometimes carrying me, working through me, I can make it. Thank you, Lord. You ever had to pray a prayer like that? In Jesus' name. From Rebecca Barlow Jordan. Just a time that when she needed help and strength, where do we go? We go to the Lord. We go to the Lord. But they that wait on the Lord, one of my favorite verses, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 31. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah 8:10, is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The second thing in this passage, Paul associated and identified himself with other disciples. So it's easy, especially if you're introverted, so to speak, not to want to mingle. There's a lot of reasons why we have church today, but one of the reasons is we can have a fellowship together, that we can have a community, that we can have a family. It's important to have a family, to have this fellowship, this time that we can come together, relate together, and learn together, and worship our Father who we acknowledge today and we lift above everything. So when Paul, it says he received the food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So he tarried there for a little while. We today should acknowledge this family, this gift that God has given to us. Never take it for granted. I know life comes and we have things that we do. We may not make it every Sunday. You need it every Sunday. I need it every Sunday. So the days and the weeks that we don't make it here, there's a deficit spiritually in our beings. That's why God wants us to come and assemble ourselves together. Assemble regularly. Have an association. With God's people, it's critical. And to cultivate those strong friendships with faithful Christians. So, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's important that we have this time together. Paul gave this to the Hebrew writer to give to us. And it's important that we have that time of fellowship. Paul needed that when he was saved. He needed that time with the disciples. He had been chasing them. He had been looking for them. He wanted to kill them. He wanted to put them in prison. And now here he is hanging out with them, learning from them. Isn't God good? You know, when I was lost, Last place I wanted to be is in the church. I'd always heard about that bunch of hypocrites down there when I was growing up. Problems in the church, you know, that was one of the things that I heard a lot of times. Split here, split there. Never heard about anything good going on down at the church. So all that stuck in my mind was the bad things. And the local church in our community that I heard all this thing from, a few years later, I got to pastor it 3 years. How about that? It wasn't all that bad after all. But they did have several splits before I got there. But some of those people I'd heard things about, they wasn't all that bad. That's the devil. He plants those things in our mind. So the second thing of that passage is to encourage each other daily. We need to assemble because we receive encouragement from one another. Your presence here does me a great deal of good. Whether you realize that or not, I love to see you come through those doors. And that encourages me. So if you don't come for you, come for me. Can I say that? But I want you to come for you. That you can be edified. That you can be built up. That you can be stronger today more than yesterday. Stronger tomorrow more than today. Encourage one another while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. The more we're in this world and the more we lack God in our life, the harder this world will condition us to be. Y'all believe that? I believe you do. I believe you believe that. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. And it's wonderful to come and have hospitality with one another. I like that last word that's yellow, that's highlighted. I don't like complainers. God didn't either. He had a lot of them in Israel, especially in the wilderness time, didn't he? I mean, they God had opened up the Red Sea for them. They got across over there and they looked back and they said, we'd have been better off back down here in Egypt. Here we are out here about to starve to death. They forgot about the miracle of the wall of water standing on each side and then walking through on dry ground. And then once they got on the other side, it let loose and it killed Pharaoh and all of his army. They forgot about that, didn't they? And then when Moses struck the rock and the quail came in, they still began to murmur. They still began to complain. Were they Baptists? I'm just asking. I don't know. So we're here together to be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. And then look at this. Simon Peter, a bondservant. So we're here. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So think about this. He associated and identified with other disciples. So I thought about those who have obtained like precious faith. That means people that are Christians. He's saying, I'm writing to you. Peter's saying, I'm writing to you. With us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul, the third point is, in verse 20, he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son. Immediately, he turned the tides, didn't he? He was an advocate of the law. Now all of a sudden he's an advocate for Christ. Immediately he preached the Christ. So what did he preach? Look what he said to the Galatians. In chapter 1 verse 15, he had been conditioned by Gamaliel and all the doctors of the law. And now here he is admitting why he was here. Galatians 1:15, he said, before I was born, God chose me and called me by His marvelous grace. Amen. So what does that do to abortion today? If God knew him before he was born, if he knew Jeremiah when he was in his mother's belly, Don't you think that every time a pregnancy is terminated, God knows who that individual is? So understand that we're all important and we're conceived for a purpose. Some conceptions may be an outside of the normal situation, but nevertheless, God planted that seed there for a purpose. Amen. Back in 1966, when I was born, outside of the bonds of matrimony, that was a very looked down on thing. But my mom went ahead and chose to have me, probably because that was before Roe v. Wade. But I'm here today. I'm here today. May have been that one little outcast that everybody looked down on for a space of time, but God knew me before I was born, and He knew that one day I would stand before a congregation of people and proclaim the gospel. Oh, ain't God. He's got a plan and a purpose, just like He did the Apostle Paul. He chose me before I was born. So here on this day, I can imagine on those 3 days that he was blinded and without food, he said, I determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what he preached. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So Paul's preaching, he taught the Jews and Gentiles that Jesus is the risen Christ and Son of God. He taught those who believe to forsake sin and live a holy, righteous life. He went on to preach 3 missionary journeys throughout Asia Minor. His preaching often aroused persecution from the unbelieving Jews and Gentiles, just like he used to do. He was causing that kind of attitude to rise up in the other Jews. And he had a physical ailment through all of this, that thorn in the flesh. They've tried to identify it, don't know exactly what it was, but we do know that he had a thorn in the flesh. But he kept preaching. He kept preaching. He stood as a testimony to the community. I think all these things are relatable to us today. We should be a testimony to our community. All who heard him preach, remember, he immediately preached. They were amazed and you know, confused. They said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? What's going on here? And has come here for that purpose, that he might bring them bound to the chief priest. And now he's preaching Christ? They were baffled. They were baffled. But what did it say? He stood as a testimony to the community. So what should we do? Psalm 107 verse 2. Are we redeemed? There's an old song that says, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Right? And it goes on to say, I have been redeemed. If we're redeemed, don't you think we should say so? So it's time to come out of the closet. If you've been in the closet all this time, everybody else is coming out, so why shouldn't we? Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Remember the parable or the story about the 10 lepers, how they cried, Jesus, have mercy on us, in verse 13. Verse 14, Jesus says, first thing, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and he shouted, thanking and praising God, praising Christ. Fell at his feet and he thanked him for what he had done. He was a Samaritan. What we need is a testimony in the community. First of all, my testimony, I want you to know that I'm very thankful that God has placed His hand on me and on you. Allowed me to be in His fold. testimony of thankfulness. Paul said to Timothy, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord because He strengthened me, because He considered me faithful, and He's put me in the ministry. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an arrogant man, but I received mercy. Didn't deserve it, but I received mercy because I did it all ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of God overflowed. Along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, this saying is a trustworthy, King James says, faithful and worthy saying. Deserving of full acceptance, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst of them. Or Paul said, I am chief. I'm the worst among the worst, but I receive grace. I receive grace. I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus, might demonstrate His extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in Him for eternal life. We're to be examples to those that are lost. And now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So what should we do? Be thankful is a great testimony to have. Let our light so shine, men, you got your flashlights? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That ye may be, or ye may with one mind and one mouth, Paul said in Romans 15:6, glorify God. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? I was going to say, once you said I do, you're not your own. We're married to Christ. We're the bridegroom, aren't we? One of these days there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and I don't want to miss it, do you? So one of these days, I want to celebrate, but till then, I want to understand that I'm in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not my own anymore because I have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're not our own. And they overcame Him, Revelation chapter 12. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. 1 John 5:4 to end there says, we overcome the world, even our faith. So going back to Revelation 12, so we have faith. We overcome this world by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not loving ourselves unto death. That's what a testimony is. He was faithful and steadfast, continuing on with Christ. Saul increased all the more in strength, confounded the Jews. What we need is strength today. Sound churches have steadfast members. Faithful Christians are steadfast members. Faithful Christians understand the principle of being steadfast members. Consistent members recognize those things that produce steadfastness. Y'all see where we're going here? Strong faith produces steadfast Christians. God wants your faithfulness. Faithfulness is expected. Enjoined on Christians, be faithful unto death. Well done, good and faithful servant. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Christians are to remain steadfast, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Right? Continue in the faith, grounded and settled, hold steadfast to the end. The early church continued steadfastly. In Proverbs 3:3, it says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Right? Write them on the tablet of your heart. Moses was found faithful We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And then by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. She judged him faithful who had promised. Although she laughed at the two men, she still was faithful in judging our Father. The word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. And I prayed and I thought, Lord, what would be a good closing for us today? Just to be faithful. Faithful to the end. And on the way over here, on 9:30 a.m., they played a song by the Perrys. And I want to play it for you right now. And that was God. Paul was faithful. So you listen to this song. Faithful Christians are dedicated, determined, and dependable. A double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. I want to be found faithful, don't you? You listen. Well, if you need to pray, we invite you to come. Find me faithful.
And it feels like I've been here for so long. There are days it seems I've been forgotten. But you give the strength to press on. I must confess that I've known disappointment, but somehow still here, and you're still God. Lord, I know you've held me through each moment. I have learned your grace is enough. So on the mountains, walk with me, and in the valleys deep, remind me in the hard times I have promises to keep. 'Cause life is hard for everyone, with battles fought and lost and won. But we've all said and done, find me faithful. Miracles don't show up without heartbreak.
Had a legacy to leave, I hope it would be that. Oh, Rowan's not perfect, but he tried to be faithful to God. And that'd be my prayer for all of us today. Happy Father's Day to our dads. Thanks to my wife for all that she did to make you guys sweeter this afternoon. And thank you for being here celebrating this day with your dads. Remember our Father. He's worthy of our praise. No service tonight. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful.